the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Glad you're here. The radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. He's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Easy to reach Dr. Mike every week on the telephone, 877-711-5211. Just as easy with an email at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And another way to get your information, medical information, on iHeartRadio Talk, you can add Radio MD or the Owner's Manual Radio Show to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. That's a special news station for your own customized information. Go to iHeartRadio.com. You can download an app if you like, or you can use it on your computer on the web. If you go to your computer, click Talk on the main menu, and then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And there you are with our show anytime you want it, 24-7, any time of day. 20 minutes after the hour, what's toxic and what's not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Any issue with fish-eating plastic? Fish-eating plastic, what might be the danger in that? Also, New York City seems to be the trendsetter for establishing guidelines for living and eating healthy. New York City is banning e-cigarettes from public places. Dr. Ginsberg will talk more about that. Triclosan safety is a topic and a story that Dr. Ginsberg will talk about today. And lead bullets. Lead bullets are biting the dust. That'll be Dr. Gary Ginsberg 20 minutes after the hour. Hello, Dr. Mike Roizen.
I'm waiting for what's wrong with lead bullets. If you're shooting someone, lead poisoning is a distant choice.
Yes. Yeah, that we'll start with that if you like that one. Okay. So Dr. Gary Ginsberg, 20 minutes after the hour. Let's go back to some of the top medical stories of the week this week. Then we'll go to Dr. G at 20 after. Older women are not doing enough exercise. What do older women need to do about that?
Well, this was an interesting study done out of Harvard. Over 7,000 women who were participating in another study were given, and they averaged about 70 years of age, were given what's called an accelerometer, which is a form of a pedometer, and asked to wear it during their waking hours, which averaged about 15 hours out of bed or out of the bathroom a day. And it turned out they were largely sedentary. That is, out of the 15 hours, two-thirds of the time, they were doing no movement at all. They were just essentially sitting. And even more than two-thirds, actually, it was around 10.8 hours out of the day, they were doing no activity in addition to their sleep time and, if you will, other time. So it averaged that about 18 and a half hours a day, there was no movement going on. Which, if you say, this is pretty darn sedentary, this ties really with another study in the same week that people who gain weight or who live longer block insulin resistance. That is, they decrease insulin resistance, meaning insulin is effective, and at lower levels in your blood because it gets the effect at lower levels. And the actual data was an extra 2,000 or 20 minutes a day of walking. Just 2,000 extra steps decreased the risk of type 2 diabetes from pre-diabetics, decreased the risk of insulin resistance. So just a little extra movement, being active a little bit every hour, moving around, walking, not lying on a couch, not sitting in a chair. This is really sedentary, these women were. And so it says we as a nation need to encourage more activity.
Why don't you recommend to them 10,000 steps a day like you normally do?
Oh, I do. I say 10,000. This is 2,000 extra. So if you normally do 4,000 to 5,000, this is 6,000 to 7,000. It's not hard to get. You know, what we found empirically, and this is just by looking at the data that we had accumulated in all the patients that we coach, is when you hit 10,000 steps a day, there's something magical. So 8,000 isn't as good as 10,000. 12,000 doesn't give you, it gives you a calorie benefit, but doesn't give you a health benefit over 10,000. So there's something magical about maintaining weight, maintaining health, when you cross that 10,000 step a day, or as 10K a day is what the phrase one of my favorite people has. 10K a day, she's got it on her license plate, matter of fact. That 10,000 steps a day is somewhat magical.
In a related story, why do black women lose less weight on the same diet? Black women lose less weight than white women on the same diet. What's the issue there?
Well, this is actually fascinating, Joe, because we never knew that. But in very carefully diaries that looked at that women's consumption of food, and again placing an accelerometer that looked at their calorie expenditure, the same women had less, the black women, had less weight loss than Caucasian women. And this relates to a metabolic rate or to, and it actually correlated with insulin resistance. That is, when they had a little higher insulin levels, which is what you get with insulin resistance, you don't lose weight as well as when you have no insulin resistance. Now, we don't exactly know the mechanism of this, but what it means is that there may be something that we can unfold in the secret of insulin sensitivity, that is the opposite of insulin resistance, that develops over time or that is race-specific or is gene-specific, that we need to break down for people to be able to maintain weight and not have diabetic tendency. As you know, I don't know if you know, but as you probably know, Joe, there's a much higher incidence of type 2 diabetes in the African-American or black population, in the Hispanic population, and even in the Chinese population than there is in those from Northern European heritages. So the Northern European and Eastern European heritages, which had a prevalence in the northeast of the United States, have a lower incidence of type 2 diabetes at the same weight as do people who come from the other heritages. And it's thought due to this insulin resistance, and it is thought it is one of the problems with weight loss in the African-American or black community.
Is that because of diet? Is it diet-induced? That's because of the diet they eat?
Well, it may be that they started that way, meaning they came to the situation, but these people were on the same exact diet, were getting the same food, and doing the same amount of exercise. They lost less weight. The African-American women were put on, and the Caucasian women, everyone was put on a 1,200-calorie-a-day diet and given a set of exercises. And over the year, the Caucasian women lost 8 to 10 pounds more on average than the black women did on that similar diet with the same starting, if you will, weights.
We'll go to break, and Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. But before we do, talk about blood pressure, guidelines for blood pressure. Have those changed at all?
Well, this is a very controversial one. So a set of experts looked at the data. We know that the ideal for you to have is 115 over 75. But if you're 150 over 95, should you come all the way down to 115 over 75? That is, should our treatment of hypertensives be to get to the ideal, or is it good to go just halfway? These people looked at the data, and especially those over 60, just starting treatment over the age of 60, and they said it doesn't appear that you get extra benefits going below 140 over 90. Now, I disagree with that, but that's what the guideline was. Now, this guideline was done by a bunch of experts. It wasn't done, endorsed by the American Heart Association or American College of Cardiology or the National Institutes of Health, National, Heart and Blood Institute. So there are a lot of people not willing to accept this guideline.
We'll be back with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. It's time for What's Toxic and What's Not with our toxicologist every week at this time, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Hello, Dr. Gary Ginsberg.
Hi, guys. Boy, it's like tropical weather here in the east, I tell you.
Yeah, it's pretty warm and pretty wet too. Dr. Mike, you like Dr. G's story about bullets. Want to begin with the bullets story?
Yeah, I can't believe lead poisoning is the reason.
Yeah, well, you know, lead poisoning isn't just for the ducks that dabble in estuaries where the hunters go duck hunting. But, you know, this is a problem that has emerged, increase in concern over the last 10 years for hunters that shoot a deer, say, the bullet explodes inside the deer, and it's hard to avoid eating some lead with your venison. Or this is the ecologists are really concerned about raptors, because what does a hunter do? But he guts the deer, doesn't drag the whole thing home, but he leaves the entrails in the woods, and that's full of buckshot. And so the raptors get lead poisoned when they come down and they eat up the residue. So copper bullets has been the cry for those in public health, worried about the health of hunters, worried about all the donated venison to food bank, and also worried about wildlife and worried about ducks. So copper bullets now are going to be required. The federal government is now phasing out lead bullets. They're going to be requiring hunters to use copper bullets. Now, I'm not a hunter, but my understanding is that when you go hunting, you're not using more than about 5 bullets per outing. Of course, when you're practicing, you may use more. But it's not, even though the copper bullets are much more expensive, it's still not crazy expensive, and they're not using that many. So the arguments against copper and using lead are going away, because the federal government is finally, after many, many years of knowing that lead bullets are a problem, EPA is requiring copper. Their main reason for it is because there's too much lead going into the atmosphere from the smelting and the production of lead bullets.
So the company that makes lead bullets will now make copper bullets?
Well, they'll have to convert over or find something else to do. Yeah, I mean, the demand for copper bullets is going to go up, so there's an opportunity there.
Yeah. Okay, how about the other one Dr. Mike likes is the fish that might eat plastic and what consequences may result from that.
Yeah, well, you know, we usually think about fish as swimming around in open waters and feeding off of smaller fish and maybe feeding off of little macro invertebrates at the benthic, at the bottom of whatever they're swimming in. Well, who would have thunk that fish actually eat a lot of plastic? But our plastic waste, and we've all heard about the Pacific Gyre, this huge swirling plastic mass that's about the size of Texas that's out there in the middle of the Pacific. But our plastic bags and whatever doesn't make it into landfill ends up in waterways, ends up finding its way into the ocean. A lot of that's plastic. And it falls apart, breaks down into small pieces, and fish just, you know, they're filter feeders. They take in just about everything. And there's chemicals. The other thing, I didn't know that chemicals in the water will sponge onto plastic. So as the fish are taking in inadvertently, it's not like they're trying to eat plastic, but it's just going down the hatch with the rest of what they're taking in, the chemicals that sorb on will get in, and things like polybrominated diphenyl ethers and PCBs, whatever's trace level in the water column, can concentrate on the plastic and then get into the fish and then go up the food chain and become more of a problem for us. So something like mercury wouldn't, but these petroleum-like chemicals, like PCBs and TBDEs, flame retardants, will like to go into the plastic debris and into the fish. And this one study at UC Davis, they actually fed controlled Japanese madaka 3 different diets, either a control diet, a diet with 10% of just a clean polystyrene or polypropylene, I forget which, and then the third was polystyrene that had embedded in it some PBDEs and other contaminants. And sure enough, the fish got liver cancer and abnormalities in their liver the more plastic they ate. So it's not good for the fish, not good for us.
Well, what do we do? I mean, what's the solution? Can anything be done?
Well, it shows that as when we make something and we decide to put it into everybody's home or into products that are going to end up getting tossed, that ultimately it's going to come back on our dinner plate. So we have to really be more careful at the design, you know, green chemistry is the buzzword. You know, how can we make the next wave of products, the next wave of magical chemistry, how can we make it so that it doesn't so stable, doesn't go up the food chain, but breaks down? We should have learned our lessons way before now, but hopefully the next wave of miracle chemistry won't be so persistent, won't get into fish.
All right, Gary.
What percent of the plastic is related to water bottles or water and soda containers?
That's a really good question. I have not seen any statistics on it. I think a lot of it is plastic bags, things that readily float. But I'm sure some percentage, some good percentage is the water bottles. I'll look it up for the next time, see if we can figure out what percentage of the waste plastic in the waste stream is water bottles, because those should be recyclable, and we shouldn't be drinking bottled water anyway because it's an environmental nightmare.
Okay, I think we can fit the New York City story in about e-cigarettes, banning those from public places. You like that one?
Yeah, well, this is very controversial because e-cigarettes, there's a health basis claim that it helps people quit cigarette smoking. But places like New York City now are banning them in public places. They're banned on airplanes because it's hard to tell with somebody smoking a real cigarette or an e-cigarette, and it just sort of relaxes the whole atmosphere of no smoking in this restaurant, no smoking in this ballpark. And so if you start allowing people to have e-cigarettes, it's going to be harder to enforce this tobacco ban. And it's not particularly good for you. I mean, it might be a little bit better than cigarette smoking, but still it's got a chock-a-block full of nicotine. It's going to be addictive to you, and there's no data to show that it is actually helping people wean. In fact, it may be going the other way with young people who see it trendy, and they advance onto cigarettes.
Yeah, the bad part about it is, Gary, that a lot of these kids as early as fifth and sixth grade are experimenting with these cigarettes, feeling that they're better than regular cigarettes.
It's becoming trendy, and they're for sale just about everywhere. I haven't looked up to see what the age limit is. I know some states have just increased the age limit to buy regular cigarettes to 21. I don't know, Mike or Joe, do you know what's the age limit to buy an e-cigarette?
There is no age limit for e-cigarettes. That's why they're getting kids that are young hooked on it. And the data seem to indicate that there are more kids hooked on it than people quitting because of it. There's another data that, in fact, when you smoke, when you breathe out, you pollute the room with nicotine, and it's helping addict more adults as well. So
lovely.
So it's not clear what the data is. You know, they claim it's better, but I have an active dialogue with some of the supporters talking about proving that. But in any case, Joe.
Okay, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, check his website out. He's available on his website, whatstoxic.com, and find out about things that may be and may not be. You never know. Some things may surprise you. whatstoxic.com for Dr. Gary Ginsberg, and he's on the show weekly here on You, the Onus Manual Radio Show. We'll take a break, be back with some of the other top medical news stories of the week. What will some of the top 10 supermarket trends be in 2014? And also holiday wellness tips to start the new year coming up in 2014, and some other top stories as well. And of course, we'll wrap the hour up with a Real Age Tip of the Week from Dr. Mike as well. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
We'll wrap the hour up with a Real Age Tip of the Week from Dr. Mike. Have any ideas for a Real Age Tip, Dr. Mike? Do we have Dr. Mike connected?
Oh, you've got me connected. Okay. I just had me on silent. so the answer is I have a great tip coming, and I don't want to give it away.
Okay, fine
with really, it's a wonderful tip, especially at this time of year.
Okay. All right. That'll be coming up in about 20 minutes down the hour. What are some of the top supermarket trends for 2014? What do you guys think?
Well, breakfast being focused on protein. So that's and you know, I actually have, I cook an extra salmon burger every time I cook them, and I have half one day and half the next day. So I'm guilty of this protein. I like, you know, what we've learned a lot, Joe, is that breakfast should probably be your biggest meal of the day, just like it is in Europe. They were right. It's one of the few things the Europeans are right on, but they were right on big breakfast. That's a joke, obviously. No one's laughing. I'm in trouble.
I'm on. I have my mute button on, Mike. That's why you didn't hear me.
Well, it makes your golf game better. How's that, Joe?
Okay, I accept it.
Okay, so, and even cereal manufacturers are doing many more whole grains, which have, of course, the protein in the whole grain as opposed to in the stripped carbohydrate. A second one is international foods. So international foods, Mexican foods, Chinese foods, are now mainstream grocery store. Quick to cook. You can, even in Cleveland, you can click on you can order groceries by clicking on it, and they deliver it to you. You know, it's not delivered by drone yet, but pretty soon. But it's delivered, within a mile of the grocery store, they deliver it. You just click it, and it really works. 60% of new snack food products are thus positioned as healthy snacks. So the health movement, and you got to read the label because they often aren't healthy. You know, they can put anything on the thing. Millennials have an influence. They're forcing supermarkets to participate in social media, online sales channels, and, in fact, with social sharing of recipes, etc. And, of course, one that's been here for a long time is private brands. That is, rather than having the national brand, it's a private brand of that company. And then another one that I was unaware of till I read this article was indie women. Do you know what indie women are, Bridget?
Well, I didn't until I read the article either, but I guess I maybe fall slightly within it.
So an indie woman is fashionable women who have strong brand affiliation but not much time for homemaking because they're working full-time. So the supermarkets are expanding their pre-made meal offerings to cater to busy women on the go. Gathering places, this is what supermarkets used to be. They used to be community centers, and now they're coming back. Featuring cooking classes and holiday baking events, way of getting together. And then the other one is more information about the food, even if it's not correct on the label, more packaging. And then the one that I don't understand quite enough of is community causes. More supermarkets and manufacturers are expanding the community service work. So, and 62% of consumers in the survey want to support companies that donate to social causes, so they want you to say part of the cost of this that you're buying is for a social cause. I would think, why are they going to pay more for that product when they could give to the social cause themselves? But they like to give to the social cause by buying the food at the same time.
This might be a good time. Maybe you talked about labels on food and read labels before you buy anything. There's so much information on a food label. What are some of the essentials? Just some of the important things to, you know, you'll be there all day if you read everything on the label. What are some of the essentials you need to know about on a food label before you decide to put it in your shopping cart?
Well, I'm going to give you my simple rules, and then Bridget, who actually teaches this, should really do this. But I'll give you my simple rule is, you look at what a serving size is. And if a serving size is what you might eat, then read the label flat out. If the serving size is, usually, you know, there's 7 serving sizes in this little package, and you know you're going to eat the full package, you've got to multiply everything by 7. So the first thing is look at the serving size. The second thing I look at is the ingredients that's below there, and they're there by weight. And what you do is any of the first 5 contain a simple sugar, dextrose, glucose, sucrose, any of the things, or sugar, or maltodextrin, or Exprelor Press, something that implies it's a sugar, or a syrup, don't get it. And then I look, does it have less than 4 grams of sugar per serving, less than 4 grams of saturated fat, and no trans fat? Meets all those, then I go and say, okay, that's a package that I might pick up. Bridget?
So I have obviously the same beliefs as Dr. Reiser, but I'm just going to expand upon a few of the things that he said, because actually I was just at the grocery store. I went to the grocery store with one of my neighbors the other day because she's older, and she's really frustrated with weight loss. And when you're walking through the grocery store, and there were certain things that I was really laying out to her that she had no idea about. And one of them was looking at the ingredients before looking at any numbers, because you want, it's the concept of wanting to have quality ingredients over focusing on quantity. So that's like choosing 100 calories of whole grains instead of 100 calories of refined grains, because unless they're going to be quality calories, it doesn't matter the number of calories in the product. So that's the major. And like Dr. Rosen said, not having added sugar within the top five ingredients is huge. Also, looking for whole grain products in all of the ingredients is another one, because right now with labeling regulations, food companies can claim that their product is whole grain with having 51% of the grains whole, which means that 49% are still refined, and they can still advertise it as a whole grain, which is really deceiving for consumers who are buying whole grain pasta thinking that it's 100% whole wheat when really it's only 51% whole wheat. So you want to flip over the package and look in the ingredients to make sure that all of the grains that are in the ingredients are whole grains, whole wheat, whole brown rice, whole oats, things like that. Also, having as few ingredients as possible is also a huge one. So when you're looking at your marinara sauce, there's no reason that sugar or all the other ingredients that you don't even know what they are should be in your marinara sauce. So you want to make sure that in the ingredients, there's maybe some tomato puree, some tomato concentrate, and possibly salt, and that's really it. That's the same with things like peanut butter. So you want to look in the ingredients of peanut butter, and peanuts and salt should be the only two ingredients in your peanut butter, because it doesn't make sense for anything else to be in it.
I was going to say, it seems like it might take some time to read labels like this, but then again, when we go to the supermarket, we typically get into a routine. We buy the same things every week. So once you get the lay of the land down and you buy some different things based on what you want to make for the, you know, for the week coming up, I mean, it's pretty, you get used to it. You know what I'm saying? You'll know what to buy week after week, and you go to that same place and pick up the same, you know, item every week. And then, it, you know, once you get used to what you're buying, you get into the routine, it won't take them that much time, you know, in the long run, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right?
Right, that's true. And that's exactly how it is with everything with diet and exercise. It's a bigger effort that you have to put in at the beginning. But then once you get in the routine of working out every day or eating healthier, preparing healthier meals, or looking for these things on the labels in the grocery store, it gets much easier because you pick up the same brand then every time you walk in the store.
We'll be back with some tips on how to start your wellness program out for the year. And Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week to end the hour on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank,
I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week for this hour in 6 minutes or so. Dr. Mike, you let us know when you want to fire that sucker up, and we'll be ready to go with it if you want to do that, okay? Just let us know.
I will absolutely tell you.
Okay.
We'll do it at about 54. It's a great tip. I can't wait to give it to you.
54 means we're 5 minutes away. Okay for that. And we all can't wait, too. 2 and 3 13-year-old girls are nervous about gaining weight. Bridget, what's the deal?
Yeah, so I found this study to be really interesting. They looked at 7,000 boys and girls that were between the ages of 13 to 15. And what the study really shows is how promoting healthy body weight among youth, in boys and girls, but particularly among girls, can be a really, there's a delicate balance because you want to promote health without them being very self-conscious of their weight, because a lot of the girls reported unhealthy, restrictive behaviors with their food intake, skipping meals, or throwing food away. 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 7 boys reported that. 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys were upset or distressed about their weight. And this is among 13, 14-year-old kids. So they also found, which was really interesting, that they had a 40% increased odds of being overweight and 90% higher odds of being obese at age 15 if they engaged in these unhealthy weight control strategies. So what the researchers implied is that there's a connection with the behaviors and higher weight 2 years afterwards when you look at trying to get kids to not engage in these unhealthy behaviors when they're too self-conscious about their weight. So instead, to just encourage physical activity, to encourage healthy eating, and allowing weight loss to be, or a healthy weight to be, a byproduct of that, instead of promoting them to be so fixated on getting a healthy weight at such a young age.
It kind of ties in with what we were talking about during a break, where I read this week where about 4 million pounds of food every year is thrown out healthy food is thrown out every year from high school cafeterias. And the money spent on, the millions of dollars spent on promoting healthy food to kids, 70% of that food is thrown away. So there's got to be a better way to get it in these kids' skulls that this is the right thing to do. I don't know if we've ever come up with that answer yet.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a slow and moving thing, considering that all of the new regulations are still going to be implemented with the next one, with the whole grain coming out for the next school year. So I think that if you look at the research that that's being done at Cornell University, they're creating smarter lunch movements in the school cafeterias. Just by, I think that we interviewed Brian Wassink last fall about it, and he was talking about how you see less food waste when you do things to shift the environment at the cafeteria that promote healthy eating without the kids even realizing that they're being forced to, by naming the carrots X-ray vision carrots instead of just carrots, by repositioning the fat-free milk to be in front of the chocolate milk so that the kids have to reach over the white milk if they want the chocolate milk, things like that end up empowering them to make healthy choices without them even realizing that you're tricking them into doing it.
Yeah, you got to trick them into doing it, maybe. Something different, because still throwing a lot of food out. Dr. Mike, some holiday wellness tips to start the new year. How about some wellness tips to start out 2014? Oh, we dropped Mike out. Okay.
Okay, so top wellness tips to start the year off right. One of them should be increasing the number of steps that you're taking a day. So we talked a lot about in this show about how many benefits there are for your glucose levels, for your risk of heart disease, to walk more. So however many steps you're taking, if you want to buy a pedometer for your friends and for you for Christmas or whatever holidays you celebrate, and look at how many steps you're taking regularly a day, and then try and make a goal to increase that by 2,000 and work towards 10,000 steps by the end of, March whatever month. But increasing your number of steps that you're taking. Also, maybe focus on increasing your fruit and vegetable consumption. Look at how many servings you're having a day and just make a goal of increasing your fruit and vegetable consumption by one serving per week, and then work your way up to five servings a day.
Yeah, Dr. Mike's back. Want to add to something to that, Dr. Mike, on the wellness tips to start the new year?
No, I think those are great. The other ones that I would do are going to take too long, but one of them is enjoy breakfast and lunch. Plan on not waiting to the new year. Just start it now. Enjoy breakfast and lunch, and the best way is a big breakfast. Remember, smaller meals throughout the day. That is, breakfast is bigger than lunch, is bigger than dinner, and that sets the thing up. Indulge in calorie-free beverages such as water or coffee, and enjoy your 12-ounce can, but don't make it a football. If you overindulge in the holidays, the problem may be there that you'll just gain. In fact, your stomach size will get too big, and it takes about 6 weeks to shrink it back. So that's all of those tips I want to do, because I want to go into our real age tip of the week. The real age tip this week, there's generous, as in Bill and Melinda Gates donating billions or Oprah handing out cars. Then there's generous, as in giving your partner a travel mug of fresh coffee and an extra kiss in the morning when you're both late. Small acts of kindness and affection have a huge impact on the happiness of your marriage and are even more important and impactful than the intermittent grand gestures. So during these time-pressured, budget-tense days when everyone's juggling tasks, try hitting pause. Sure, sex, commitment, and communication are vital too, but so is generosity. So give it to your partner. That's the real age tip of the week, Joe.
All right, we still have time. Anything else you want to add to before we wrap up the hour here, Dr. Mike?
Well, I think what we learned from talking to one of the great people who wrote the Tell, Matthew Hertenstein, is that first impressions do matter, that smiling is a key. And the true smile, if you will, one of the things I learned was you'll see the corners of the eyes smile too. So one of the things to look for to say, is this a true smile? Well, look in the yearbook and Facebook photos. Are the corners of the eyes turned? And if so, maybe that's going to be a better mate than whoever you had thought of beforehand.
Hey, we want to thank you for listening to the show today. For Dr. Mike and Bridget, I'm Joe Galewski. Of course, reach us by way of telephone anytime you have the urge to talk to Dr. Mike. It's 877-711-5211, or it's udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And we are now on iHeartRadio Talk. Click Talk in the main menu. If you're looking for us on the web, search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and you are there. It's a great way to get your information weekly with us here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.